Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Can win the title is what Anderson Silva said.
In the meantime, if the UFC want to give me someone, my goals are set and it remains the same to be world champ.
Uriah!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me. We're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Very happy. We have a couple of good guests coming on today. Our old buddy Uriah Hall will be rejoining the program. It's been a long time since Uriah was on. And the president of Karate Combat, Awesome Zaidi, will be here as well. Should be a very good show. And how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. Really well.
Can we talk for a second? Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, yo, I seen, first of all, we got to talk some fights that happened.
Oh, yes.
I want to talk about that. That Brian Ortega.
Crazy.
Brandon Royval. Come on, man.
Yep. Yep.
So really quick. I'll tell you about the latest movie. I found a new movie that's like a gem. Came out in 2017. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. I keep people in suspense.
Okay.
They love my movie minutes.
Sure.
But back to the fights. Who picked Brandon Royval to win?
You took Royval. You were correct. I did think he won. It was such a great fight. But the judging... And as we're talking, Matt, I'm trying to get the – I had the cards. It was 47-48 for Royval, which I thought was fair. And this Camichio, whatever his name is, it had it fucking 49-46 Moreno. And I'm like, I just don't get it. How – all right, look. I thought that Moreno took the first two – and I gave Royval the last two. Again, that, you know, no one else agreed with you. All judges gave, I'm sorry, Royval took the final three. All judges gave Moreno round five, which I thought that was Royval, but it was very close, no complaints.
That's interesting, because Royval didn't back down an inch with that.
Now, I thought Royval took two, three, four, and five.
He got taken to the cage, but, you know, he got out of there. And not only that, he came back firing. Oh, wow. It ended very cool.
Yeah, but I felt that rounds one and two for Moreno, I agreed with. But then this judge, Junichiro Camijo, round three he gave and round five all to Moreno. And I'm like, that just didn't make sense that it was a 49-46 in favor of Moreno. That's just terrible, terrible judging. Again, Chris Lee and Mike Bell had little differences, like, you know, Moreno, he gave the first two rounds to Royval, which I'm missing something. I don't think that Royval won those first two rounds.
Listen.
It's crazy.
That's neither here nor there. The thing is this. It is actually here and there. But my thing is this. I want to just sell it. I want to concentrate on the positive. The positive is I feel like the right guy won.
Yes,
and
he did.
Very close. Also, another positive is I picked him to win.
That would be a positive for you. I would say I don't like that I've won two and you've won five. I don't care for that at all.
Yeah.
I did make a very impressive pick. One of the picks I got very correct.
You mean when I was going to say third round submission, but I said second round, so you'd have the third round? That's being a bad loser. I know. Okay. All right.
We both won.
We won by just doing, we are winning every time we do this show. Every time we get to spend an hour together, you know, because Jimmy, let's be honest. If I just try to call you off air, you're not spending an hour with me, Jimmy.
That's not true.
It's absolutely true. But it's not your fault. I wouldn't spend an hour with most people.
Oh, wait, you said I'm not spending an hour with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry, I misread that. I thought you said I was going to spend an hour with you. But that's not true.
Very mean. Jimmy, how's your YouTube show going with your wife?
It's good. It's Nikki and Jim NYC. We started a video podcast. I think episode 2 goes up tomorrow, and we're just putting up little slice of life videos. Very fun.
One episode out so far.
What's that?
It's only one episode out.
One of the podcasts. We've been putting other stuff like just, our 1 year anniversary video, just little weird slice of life. I had a piss stained mattress that I had to get rid of. So I was trying to find a black light.
I store a little of that. That's gross. How did that happen?
Well, it's 20 years with the same mattress, Matt. And a lot of times, you know how it is.
Yeah. I've had times I've done that, Jimmy.
A little tinkle. You don't know. A little tinkle.
Jimmy, I'm going to tell you and the rest of the world. I went by bed way too late. I'd have problems still.
Yeah.
Thank God. Like when I started sleeping over people's houses and stuff, as a kid, I just stopped.
You did.
A little TMI for the world.
No, I don't mind. Please. Yeah, come on. Yeah, a bed piss story. I can listen to that all day.
Jimmy, I watched it. We're going to talk more about the fights.
Sure.
I watched this. I like when I find the movie and say, oh, this is new to Netflix. Oh, I know that actor. Let me give the first couple minutes a try. And then it gets you. And next thing you know, man, this is a good fucking movie.
Yes.
The movie's called Shot Caller. It came out 2017. It's got Jamie Lannister as the lead. The guy from Game of
Yes, Thrones. I forget his real name, but he's Jamie Lannister.
Yeah. That guy, he's good because you don't even think of him like Jamie Lannister. He's like one of those Wall Street type guys, right? And he's him and his wife and another couple. They're in the beginning. You can tell he's just like a business guy. And they're out and I'm just going to set it up for you. They go and they're out getting some drinks. He gets into an accident on the way home, runs a red light, his bad. And his buddy ends up dying in the car. So next thing you know, and the other guy broke his legs. So next thing you know, he has to go to jail and he was facing a lot of time. And in jail, listen, he's with the hardened criminals.
Sure.
You got to make a choice. Either you're going to be, someone in there, or you're going to have to do something for your team, for your people, or you're going to have to shank someone, or you're going to have to do stuff. Yeah. And that
Heine doesn't get pummeled.
Next thing you know, he becomes a hardened fucking. He walks around almost like it looked like an essay with the. You know how they have the shirts with the one button.
Sure.
He becomes just a hardened inmate.
Sure.
And then it goes from there. So listen, man, pleasantly surprised with Shot Caller. I'm gonna say, you should definitely give it a try. It's very dark, Jimmy.
You should give it a shot.
Caller, you should watch it, Jimmy.
Yeah, but you're saying I should give it a shot.
Yes, I'm saying you should give it a shot. Shot okay. Caller. Anyway, so Jimmy, people ask me all the time. No, they really don't. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah, no, I know.
Nobody actually.
They never asked. They never wanted to ask you once.
It's not true. I actually do sometimes. Hey, what are you watching? Don't make it unfun. It's fun. They ask me. Not a lot of people.
They stop you in the street. I apologize. At toll booths, they ask you. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to ask people. Yeah, I ask people at my school.
What are you watching?
Yeah, I do because I like to get all the new things. Oh, I'm so excited. This weekend, I have young Marcus Black Star fighting. Young Marcus Reed. Black Star is his Instagram thing.
Yes.
He loves anime. He's like a living anime. He's undefeated as an amateur. He's at 4 rear naked chokes and 1 7-second shin across somebody's face.
Oh. Is he the guy you told to have his anime moment? What fighter was that? Was that him? That was him. Okay.
That's Marcus. Yeah. I'm like, this, he was down 2 rounds.
Yeah.
You're living your anime movie. He's like, yeah. He went out there and he fucking strangled the guy. But so he's having his pro debut in Atlantic City.
Nice.
On March 1st. So while I'm out there, you know, Uncle Edwin's taking a trip with the family, you know. So, you know, I might want to go with Uncle Edwin, maybe the whole family. We'll see what they're doing. But I might want to see that first matinee of Dune Part 2. It looks so good. My buddy Christian Harloff, he's a nerd. Like me, he's got a nerd show called The Big Thing. He's got a podcast. He called me when he was right out of the theater. He got an early press thing over in LA or whatever he's from, wherever he's from, on the West Coast. He told me, he goes, Matt, it is fucking unreal. It's unbelievable.
I had a little Timmy Chalamet in there.
I had a nerdgasm right there, Jimmy.
You love Tim Chalamet.
I like Tim Chalamet. Uriah Hall. Let's ask Uriah Hall if he ever seen Dune. Want to ask him? Is that your first?
I would love to. I don't know what type of films Uriah likes.
Let's ask him.
Yeah.
Let's ask him what he likes to watch.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think he's into like rom-coms.
No, I don't know. He seems like he would like a good action.
Now that Carl Weathers has passed, he can maybe be now the new Action Jackson. No?
No, I mean, I don't know. Does Uriah even act? I don't know if he acts.
Well, all these questions and more coming up.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, there he is. Buddy. Him. Uriah Hall, warrior. I'm so. Can you hear us, by the way?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We hear awesome. You. Yeah, we hear you too.
Before I start giving you all these compliments, I want to make sure you hear it, dude. I got so happy to see you the other day. Who the hell
first
are you?
First of all, what? You look great, man. What have you been doing?
No, stop it.
You look good.
Yeah, God. Just like
Jim, you look good too, Jim. You look good too, Jim.
But no, Matt, I look fat. Matt looks great.
I just got back from Florida, so I got a tan. So, you know, I wear something with the veins. I did a couple push-ups. I'm pissing dirty. It's all these things together. That's what makes me look good. Uriah, what is up? I want to hear about – now, you're – I don't want to put words in your mouth. Are you officially retired before we go on with anything? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I am, but I don't know. You know, if any opportunities come my way, I kind of want to get back in there. Sometime when I see some of these guys, I'm like, man, I could kick his ass. But, right. I'm still competitive. I would love to get back in there, but politics, politics, politics.
Has it been hard to get a fight? I mean, again, you know, has it been, you've been trying to, and it's just been difficult?
I kind of did, but, you know, credit to my coach, who's like, listen, I don't want you to be going in there and taking a chump change, man. You created a mark for yourself. And I don't want to be one of these guys just, you know, collect a paycheck. It makes sense. You know, I'm older. I would love to fight, you know, these younger guys because I love the competitiveness. But he's like, listen, don't just go in there and take a paycheck. Let them pay you for your worth. And I'm like, all right, no problem.
So is there anybody you have your eye on right now or the ones you wanted, just the money wasn't what you wanted?
I mean, if I get back into UFC, to be honest, you know, I still would love to get a crack at Izzy. Nothing bad, you know, I still respect him. I just love the competitive side of it. I would beat the shit out of Darren Till. He's the guy I've always wanted, but his punk ass was ducking me, you know, the whole time. You know, I think he had 4 losses and I have 4 wins. And before I fought Sean Strickland, I was trying to get him, and he was just crapping out. I know he talks to the media and say, oh, fuck you, Royal Hall, it doesn't matter. But his punk ass was scared the whole time. He was ducking me the whole time. He knows.
Now, where does the, you know, you guys have some beef going on? I mean, you're not one that even, I hardly hear you talk
about that. No, man. I just think he's trash, first of all. But, you know, he was saying, I'll fight anybody. I was like, yo, what's up? Let's go at it. And I think the UFC was protecting him. I told him I'll go in his backyard and I'll fight him. I'll make the transition to go to London, but he didn't want it. He really didn't want it. He was in Abu Dhabi or whatever training, and his trainers were just protecting him. They didn't want the smoke. So,
what do you think about fighting him in karate combat? That had been talked about. Is that a possibility?
I would love to. I would love to fight him in karate combat. You know, I told those guys, but you know, they haven't reached out yet. I think, you know, the new guy, he's probably trying to set up like fights that kind of make sense, kind of like, you know, Showtime. And who did Showtime fight? Who did Pettis fight? Didn't Pettis fight somebody?
Oh, don't know.
Yes. Pettis fought Ben. He put Ben Henderson.
Yeah. So I think he's trying to.
Who won that?
I think Pettis won.
Pettis won?
I didn't see it, but I think Pettis won.
We're talking to Awesome. Awesome.
But it's stuff like that. We'll ask him.
Yeah.
Pettis by decision.
Yeah, we're gonna be.
Yeah, I would love to get in there, man. But
he's actually on the show later by coincidence. The owner.
Well, I texted him and I said, "Hey, I'll fight that Smiley Sam." You know, I was
Sam
like,
Alvey?
"I got Smiley Sam."
Yeah.
No disrespect, but come on, there's no way Sam's gonna. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't hear anything. I think what they're trying to do is be more strategic with fights that make sense or whatever. Toby Machida, I'll fight him. I don't give a fuck. But whatever. Politics.
We'll ask him for it. We will ask him for you. Because I would love to see you and Darren Till. That's a fight I would really like to see.
I would like to take him down, though. I would do an MMA fight because I want to take him down and beat the shit out of him.
That was going to be my question. Oh, interesting. You'd like to take him down and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, he's trash, man.
That's interesting. Now,
yeah.
Where do you get that from? Just his overall social media posts or what
that is it? To that, and you know, I know fake people so well. You know this, we're New Yorkers, you know. Motherfuckers just talk a bunch of shit and they don't show up. And a lot of these guys, they talk for the media. And the fans, that the fans don't know them shit. The fans don't know anything. The fans just say, wow, great fighter. Wow, he sucks. The fans don't know shit. They don't know what we have to go through. But I just know he's fake.
What was the first indication that you didn't like him? Because again, you're a pretty easygoing guy. Had he said something that
his face.
Wow.
His fucking face. I just hate his fucking face.
That's hard to overcome.
You just want to punch him. He just got that face you want to punch.
Didn't like him on sight.
I just didn't like him on sight.
Now, this is a question now. It's for you, Uriah. And I want to know your thoughts on it, Jimmy, too. Like, what do you guys think of, like, some of these guys now? They're out of the UFC, and you see them jumping into the bare-knuckle stuff. Would you ever think about doing that? That's a little rough.
They got to pay me for that, man. They got to pay me.
Especially now, Uriah, not for anything. You know, I mean, and I ain't hitting on you, but you're a pretty guy. like Mike Perry don't give a fuck. That guy's like, listen.
Yeah.
They'll be like, yo, listen, I'll do this. I'll make a cat out of that star. You know,
I would, but they got to pay me because I'm not going to put my brain cells on the line like that. I'm too articulate for that, man, but they got to pay me.
I went to one of those fights. I saw Dodson. John Dodson won. I think it was a championship fight. Yeah, I went when I was on the road. I was in New Mexico. and I went to a bare knuckle. Yeah. Chris Lytle, it's where Chris Lytle is one of the announcers. And it was entertaining to watch, but it's just the hands. It just looks like it's so easy to break your hands. So a lot of those guys only have a few fights because it just seems like it's so easy to do hand damage.
Yeah. And then no disrespect to them, you know, they putting on a show for everybody and stuff like that. But I don't know, man, to go in there and getting punched in the face with your knuckles, and it's not about being scared, it's about being smart. I think that sport is made for Mike Perry, you know?
Mike Perry is built for that sport.
Yeah, he's built for that shit.
Can't be afraid of getting
them. I just need to kill you.
Yeah, you can't be afraid.
I need to kick you.
That shit.
You can't. You can't.
I mean, fog, dude. I mean, you get cut so easily. I mean,
so easy, and you know, I don't know. It's a little bit barbaric. I don't know. I don't know if I can. No.
You know, guys, I saw the other day. It was I found it on YouTube, and I ended up not watching the rest of it. And then I found the rest. I saw the results elsewhere because I wasn't into it. It was Pat Miletich, dude. That, and Pat Miletich is older than me, so he's got he's in his 50s. First of all, and he was fighting the guy Michael Jackson, the guy who was like the controversial. He fought CM
Michael Jackson.
Mike Jackson.
Yeah. He's always going at it with
the UFC for a second. Mickey Gall beat him up. And also the Mike the Truth Jackson. Yeah, he used to get mad when people called him Michael, and then he came out with fucking Michael Jackson music too. What a guy's a weirdo.
Jackson, he's always going back and forth with somebody on Twitter. I don't remember who, but I've just seen his name like on social media.
Jake Shields actually.
Oh yeah, that's it. They had that thing. Yeah,
and they ended up mounted him in like a street altercation. Yeah. So him and Pat Miletich had a back and forth, and I seen it just. And Pat Miletich knocked him down with a right hand and then ultimately got gassed out and ended up losing because he got gassed out. He couldn't answer the bell for like the second or third round. I fought in UFC 31 that when Pat Miletich was the champ and he lost to Carlos Newton. He was back then. He seemed kind of old too. And he was back. And that was back then. Dude, I don't want to see it, man. I don't want to listen. I look all right now in shorts, but I don't want to see me in shorts fighting with anybody. I don't want to see it, man. I don't want to
hear
see
you,
it,
man.
It doesn't feel right.
He's 57.
Like Muhammad Ali was older, and you like feel guilty watching it.
Like, yeah, listen, when it's time to get out the game,
it's kind of sad. And I'm not telling anybody not to do. It's not like he's Joel Romero out in this motherfucker. Right. I mean. It's a fucking older guy, and it looks like an older guy.
Matt, he's 57.
Well, he's there 57. You go. There you go.
Wow.
You got to know.
The only older person I see like doing well. You guys know Michael Jai White, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've sparred with Michael Jai White. A lot of people are like he's an actor. That mofo is. I mean, we were going at it so fast. And I'm like, this dude is matching my speed. And then our trainer was like, hey, man, y'all chill out. Y'all slow down. But we were just so competitive in that sense of like, yeah. And we did a video afterwards where we were going slow. But before that, we were going at it. And
How old is he, man?
Yeah.
How old is
he? He's 60. He's 60 years old.
Listen,
and he was like he's 25.
He was spawned.
The guy's so. Legit.
Yeah,
he was spawned.
Maybe he made the deal with the fucking devil. No.
Child of hero.
I thought he kind of got screwed in that movie because I thought he was a great spawn.
And yeah, I thought so too.
The movie was a little, you know, special effects. You know, like John Leguizamo, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Jimmy.
Leguizamo.
I like names like Uriah Hall.
Matt Serra. Hey,
and what about you with acting, man? Shoot.
You know what? That's where I'm kind of heading. You know, I met some cool people. And listen, it's in the works. I'm not throwing too much out there. But the dynamics of where I've been as a martial artist, I still carry that. I have some people in that field. I'm kind of trajecting that. It's a complete different world. You know, I'm like, well, I can throw fake punches and get paid. I'm learning some stuff, and I can't say too much, but you know, it's some possibilities going on that way.
In this movie, I watched this movie the other night. Oh, what a great movie! And I found it out of nowhere. And no, it's funny. Who was in it was Keith Jardine was in it as one of the inmates.
It's a fight movie.
It's called Shot Caller. What'd you say? What movie?
Was it a fight movie or?
Oh yeah, no. Oh yeah, it was
prison movie, right?
It's a prison movie called Shot Caller. It had Jamie Lannister as the lead. What a fucking good movie, dude.
I didn't see that.
It just came out on Netflix. But I seen Keith Jardine was in it. He was great. He's fucking great, you know?
He's a good actor.
I remember Keith back in the day.
Yeah, he's an actor now. You used to train with Keith?
No, but he just has that look. I remember him as a fighter, but he's just like, if I'm in a movie, I ain't playing no Romeo or Juliet, and I'm gonna be the bad guy. I've done a couple of movies, and yeah, I was a bad guy. It was cool. I don't mind being the bad guy.
Hey, dude, I can see you being the hero. Come on, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I'm not saying
Black Panther's cousin. Brother.
That's kind of typecast. I'm just saying. Hey, I can see you Black as the Panther's real Black cousin. Panther, though.
What's Black that? Panther's cousin. I got the hair. Yeah, Black Panther's cousin.
Do you like it? Now, what about acting? Is it what you thought it would be or no?
Man. Like, so
is it harder or easier?
I pick stuff up like a sponge. And I have a creative mind and an open mind to learn. And while we were on set, I was learning. They were showing me stuff and I was learning as they were doing it to punch at an angle to make it look real. And you know, one of the guy, he told me to put on shin pads because he was like, "Hey, mate, I don't trust you, man. I know you're a real fighter, man. I don't want, you know." And I'm like, "No, I got control." He's like, "Yeah, I just put these shin pads on." And I had great control because, listen, karate has taught us to have so much control. We used to kick apples off each other's head, stopping our kicks at the face. So I have the best control. But I learned so much. I picked it up like this, and they were like, "Wow, you're natural." My death scene was pretty hilarious. And the director, you know, I did it a couple of times and he was like, "I want you to feel like your life is leaving your body." And I was like, ugh. I mean, it was so fucking cool, man, to just tap into an emotion. So when I look at these actors, I'm like, man, they're fucking, you know, they work hard at their craft. So,
yeah, it's cool. And it's weird with people watching you, like with a camera crew, like the things that you would do, like in the room alone. And then all of a sudden, when there's people on quiet, there was quiet. And then they're all,
oh my God.
You're like, oh, fuck. It feels different.
It's got hurry up and wait. That's what it's called. I mean, one scene will take the whole day. So.
Yeah, that's what Longo.
Cool experience, man.
Longo told me that. Yeah. You made me want to put an apple on my little bird's head and make. I want to spin and kick that off his head. We can go viral with that, me and my Jimmy.
I don't think I would trust that, Matt.
I'll switch it up. I'll put a fucking pear on your head, and
I promise. I have the best control. And dude, listen, I like sparring with the 20-year-olds now because they come at me, and you know I have a name, so they're like, "Oh, you're right, Hall." And I either get the guys that are trying to kill me. But I take it as a say, okay, do I still have it? And, you know, I'm outclassing these guys. So I'm like, man, I still have gas in the tank.
That actor that you worked with who made you put the shin pads on, probably he probably watched you. He probably heard you were going to be on set. He probably watched your fucking fight on Tough. That guy's, he kicked his fucking head off his shoulders. He's probably like, "Yo, wear this shit."
Well, actually, you know who it is? Do you know Scott Adkins?
Is that a guy that Jimmy was going
to say? Don't say it.
No, I was going to do a fuck. Jimmy, is that the guy that came up with that diet?
Don't say it, Matt.
No. He was in Undisputed 2. I don't know if you've seen Undisputed 2 with Michael Jai White.
No.
And him. Oh, man. He was in the last John Wick 4 as well. He was the big fat guy. I don't know if you've seen John Wick 4.
I've never seen a John Wick film.
I've seen most
what?
Of them.
What? Oh, man.
I know. Everyone says. I love Lance Reddick, too, so it's kind of shitty that I haven't. I'm looking at him. Okay. I know.
I do know that Phoenix Carnival is such a huge Scott Adkins fan. That's what I'm saying right now. I'm saying that for all party Phoenix. Because I know that.
Scott Adkins is a man. He's such a good guy. Didn't know he was British. Opened his mouth. I was like, holy shit. But yeah.
But he was worried you were going to really kick him. That's got to feel good, though, when, like, the lead actor is just scared of you, and he's like, "Look, I mean, this is my job."
I don't think he was scared. You know, I don't want to put him down in that sense. I just feel like that's their world, and to them, that's very important, where I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I punched a couple of guys accidentally in my very first movie, but it was like a tap, and he threw a tantrum, and I was like, "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry," because you have to be, like, at such an angle, you know, for TV, and I was like, "Oh, man, I'm sorry." He was like, "I can't fucking work like this." Da, da, da. I was like,
"Oh, did he say that I can't fucking work like this?"
I know. It was bad. He was
what a dick. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Just say, hey, look, I know you didn't mean it. Like, yeah.
They take it seriously, man. They take it seriously.
He's being a baby.
Let me ask you, Ryan, because I know the feeling of this. Now, even though you didn't, like, again, you're not officially retired or anything, how does it feel like, because, you know, you were pretty active. Like, how does it feel after like 6 months where it's like, all right, now it's that time where I should be, with me, it was Joe Silva, me talking to whoever it is with you, talking to the matchmaker, Mick or Sean, or, you know, like you should be talking to your agent, be like, all right, I should be getting something now coming up. And when there's nothing coming up, it's like, all right, that's fucking weird. To me, it was weird. How do you feel when you don't have something right now on the next, you don't see your next fight coming up? Like, you know what I mean?
If I can be brutally honest,
please.
It was probably the most depressing point in my life because I worked my entire life for this. People on the normal tech spectrum, they're not going to understand this. You know, when you're not an athlete, you don't really know anything. Whatever comes out of my mouth right now, you're just going to be like, shut the fuck up, bro. But for the people who's going to understand me, for the first 6 months, I was so depressed. When I say depressed, I didn't even want to be here anymore. I wanted to kill myself. I was like, I don't know anything else. I'm identified as Uriah Hall, the fighter. There was no one saying this, this, and this. People were talking. Nothing made sense. It was almost like another language. No one was listening to me. Everyone was like, all right, capitalize on this. You should do it. I'm like, bro, are you even listening to me? Whatever happened to, hey, are you okay? Hey, do you need anything? So then I distanced myself. I fell into this deep hole and I just kept, I kept going. And I spoke about it before where, you know, like I said, like how guys like Robin Williams committed suicide when he's the happiest person. And I was just so depressed where I looked at my gun a couple of times, like, man, it could be so easy. But a small voice in the back of my head saying, don't be a bitch. You can't come out like that. But I was like, but I don't even know how to get out of it. And it was slowly, inch by inch, I went to training, and to train with no purpose, to train and say, I would never fight again, to train and say, I didn't get to where I wanted to, I didn't capture the belt, I just kept going down further. And when I look at people and say they're depressed, I was like, I felt it, and I couldn't get out of it. But knowing myself, I kept crawling, inch by inch, I slowly got out, where I started to train. I remember even going outside and sunlight was just weird to me. Talking to people was weird to me, but I kept going no matter what. And for the people that I can credit to helping me get out of that, whether it's small conversations, whether it's, you don't have to make sense right now, it's okay, whatever you need, I can't credit them enough because everyone handles it differently. And for me, I'm so dedicated. I'm like, this is it. There's no plan B. And to just take that away and you're like, fuck, there's no plan B. You know, it just put me in place where literally 8 months ago, I wouldn't be here right now. So I'm happy that I'm here.
So I was going to say, how did you deal with that? Did you do therapy or was training your therapy or
certain training was my therapy? Training was definitely my therapy, but it was just the consistency of it. It's something I was taught as a martial artist to never quit no matter what. I don't know how to quit. I haven't figured out that yet. But I just know if I keep going, I will find a way. That was always my thing. There's got to be a way. Even when there's an impossible thing in front of me, I'm like, there's got to be a way. So I was blessed with that mindset to just keep going no matter what. No matter how far deep I'll go, I will always say to myself, there's a way out of this. And that kept me. And of course, surrounding myself with the right people. I've let go a lot of people because you know when you're on top, people like you. And then when you're not, it's like you're, you know what I'm saying? Nobody.
So. Does it help you at all? Like, because athletes, you guys, your job by nature has a built-in shelf life. It's just it's the nature of being an athlete. You can't you have a certain ceiling, maybe into your 40s, but you can't go like beyond it. Just it's just not a physical possibility for anyone. I mean, Tom Brady, the greatest who ever did it, 45. My job, if I'm 55, 65, I can still work. So if I'm not working, I'm failing, and I know I'm failing. But with you, it's not a failure. With you, it's just, this is the job. Like, no one can go beyond this. Does that help at all? Or like to know that you did exactly what you were supposed to do? Very successful, respected fighter. Is it just the sadness of not having it anymore? Because it's not a failure. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you guys have that ceiling just by the nature of being athletes.
I agree with you. But I think for me, I'm I'm my biggest critic. You know, I'm a perfectionist. And for me, I was taught to either do something 1,000%, 100, or don't do it all. So I didn't have that gray. I'm like, well, I don't know how to half-ass anything. I got to. And even in UFC, I later figure out later on in my life that I struggle with something. I listen to people because here's who I really am. I'm the guy that will beat the living shit out of you and be like, hey, man, you okay? I'm sorry about that. But it was frowned upon. It was like, the fuck is wrong with you? Stop being a bitch. Whether it's my coach or people saying, you can't have that. You got to be this. But I was so good at it because that's what I did in The Ultimate Fighter. But coming out, not having that right guidance and someone saying, and Chael was probably the last person told me it was okay. You know, I stopped hearing that. You know, I started living up to other people's expectation. So regardless of how people say, oh, yeah, you're respected, you accomplished that. I think for me personally, I didn't feel like I personally did what I really wanted to do because I was on a 4 or 5 win streak and I was like, all right, here's my run, you know, and the UFC kept giving me guys behind me and I'm ranked number 8. I'm like, this makes no sense. So I checked out. I was motivated. And here's a fucked up thing that a lot of people don't know. When I fought Sean Strickland, you know, a night prior to the fight, I was in the hospital. You know, I didn't cut the weight too well and my kidneys were like shutting down and I was in the ICU and, you know, one of the doctors came in and was like, dude, you can't fight. And some other doctor was like, well, let's keep him overnight and, you know, keep him on IV. So I had that. And then the next day going into fight, yeah, I'm fine. But in the back of my head, I'm like, fuck. And then maybe 30, 40 seconds in, Sean punched me in the eye, breaks my orbital. And I'm like, what the fuck? And the entire fight for 25 minutes, I can't see Sean at all. If you watch that fight, I'm taking an ass looking because I can't even see Sean. So this eye is gone, and it's the color of your shirt, Jim. And then this eye is fading because Sean has an awkward style. Yeah. And back in the day, me and Sean used to go at it. I had no problem with Sean. But that one little error fucked me up. Now, I can't sit there and make excuse and be like, yeah, the night before. And what good does that do? You know, I have to take it like a champ. But it sucked that people have to come up with their own interpretation of, yeah, this happened. Meanwhile, no one knew I was in the hospital night before. And no one knew I fought this motherfucker 25 minutes without no vision. So I was more proud of myself. I might have lost that fight, but I won the battle with myself. And I'm proud of that.
Moral victory with that.
Yeah, watching guys who don't fight say something like about a guy's toughness is always crazy to me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can be disappointed with someone's performance, but when they're like, yeah, you didn't, I always get a kick out of that. It's like, what are you talking? He's getting punched in the face.
Did you fight, bro?
Yeah, right. Did you know your orbital was broken? Or like, when that happens, do you just kind of go numb, or you knew there was a problem, or you do like, this is broken?
Actually, when between the first minute, and I just kept doing this, and I just remember, oh man, I can't see out of my right eye at all. And, you know, I'm sucking it up. I broke my toe before in a fight and I kept going when I fought Thiago Santos. But I'm like, all right, my natural defense is to protect it. And if you watch the fight, I was like this because I have no right eye and I'm trying to like measure my distance. At one point I was doing physics. I was like, all right, if I measure my jab here and fake this, the entire fight I was trying to figure out how to get out of that shit and looked at my coach a couple of times. And he's giving me that, like, you got to tough it out, bro. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't quit. And it sucked, but it is what it is, man.
There's little things, man, that they contribute to the loss. Like, in other words, like, all right, well, this is part of the reason why, or unless, like, this doesn't help the matter at all. I remember when GSP took me down that second fight, and I'm like, all right, just like I thought, if he's on top, he's going to be super close. And I said it before, like, I pushed his head and I snapped an elbow. And I figured I would do that a lot, like Kenny Florian style. Dude, first of all, my elbows, they suck. They're very blunt. They're not very sharp. They're like stock. They're like meat. They're just like wide. And I killed my ulnar nerve the first time I did it. So when I did it, when you bruise your ulnar nerve like I did, it felt like a severe pins and needles where you can't feel your hand.
I had
no arm from the elbow down. And then he forced the half guard. Like, oh, this is a horrible start. So it's just funny, man. It's almost like I'll do over. No. But yeah, it's a rough sport we play, Uriah. But yeah, man, why don't you get after that 6 month mark? Because I remember feeling that too. Like, what do I do? Well, I don't have nothing coming up. And then I'm like, I had to get myself. Now I have a great routine going. But I remember being like, well, I don't have to be at the school right away. So I would end up just sleeping late. getting up whenever, getting there when I'm, it wasn't motivated. Now like I get into a situation where I got myself doing the morning class at 7 a.m. This, so I'm like getting up early. Like, I don't know, like you get on a routine where I'm sweating early and yeah, I don't know, I'm enjoying myself teaching again. It's almost like a resurgence of doing that again. So it's a lot of fun and doesn't hurt that my wife trains, my kids train. It's fun. How's everything at Fortis MMA with Saif Saeed, who drops more than Dana White during his show?
It's a great atmosphere. You know what I love about Fortis is Fortis kind of reminds me of New York. You know, it's hard in that sense. It demands the best version of you, and of course, coach is always there pushing us, regardless who we are. The discipline factor is, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, you still clean the mats, whether you're high rank or whatever, you know? Yeah. And that atmosphere where we don't bring any drama in, it's so important, especially in a gym, whether it's new people coming in or old people there. That's what I really love about it. Of course, every gym is going to, you know, train hard and all that stuff, but that's the biggest thing to me. And we're doing great, man. We're doing great. I like it. I'm still getting used to Texas. It's just... motherfuckers out here, man. Good God. They can't drive for shit.
Really?
And they're all blaming California. Like, nah, man, it's not even California. It's y'all. Y'all motherfuckers suck. It's so bad here. It was voted the worst place in the entire country for driving. It's so bad. Like, bro, they should be retesting every month for a license.
They're terrible. Hey, what did you think of Moreno? I mean, it was such an amazing fight, a close fight. I thought they made the right choice. I mean, but it was a very, very close fight.
I did not see that.
You didn't see the fight yet? Okay. Yeah,
this is going to sound fucked up, but I barely watch the sport anymore unless people like my teammates. Jeff fought.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a little taken back on that fight because I was like, I thought Ian was running. And
in that third round, especially, yeah.
Yeah, and I trained with Jeff for that whole camp, and I'm like, I know this fighting style. I fought this shit all my life. Two things you got to do. Take this motherfucker and hit him, and don't stand in front of him. That's it. And, you know, whatever. You coulda, woulda, shoulda. I'm not in there when it's happening. But I was a little taken back from that 30-27. I thought 30-27 is like, I'm beating the shit out of you. That's what I scored 30-27. But hey, you can't leave it to the judges, man.
No,
you're not watching a lot of MMA. What are you watching? I told you about Shot Caller. That's my.
I'm telling you,
it's fucking hardcore. Are you streaming anything? Are you watching a series? Are you listening to an audio book?
Yes.
What is going on? Give us some stuff that you're doing.
Yes.
I'm really? Not. Okay. So here's what I'm really doing. The first thing that I'm really been doing, and this is going to sound a little. Whatever, I've been focused on me. And I know a lot of people say I focus on me, but there's alone time and then there's spending time alone. And then a lot of people don't understand that concept. Alone time is like, oh yeah, I sit down and watch my dog, I watch TV. No, spending time alone is really getting to depth with yourself because there's always layers to what's really wrong with you. And that's what I've been doing recently, is just really going to the depth. What's really going on? What's really, really fucking going on? And I protect the fuck out of that because people, I've learned, suck energy out of you. And there's people you're around that you don't even like, but you're like, I gotta fucking do this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm so protective of myself lately. And what that did for me, it helped me to manifest so I can attract the right people. And I used to hear people talk like this. I'm like, what the fuck is your boring ass talking about? Now I'm one of them because now I get why it's so important to protect that energy. Because when you protect that energy, you can use it accordingly. And that's what I'm doing, whether it's acting or, you know, fighting again. I just want to be the best version of me. I'm getting older. So I'm looking back at the last part of my life going, what the fuck was I thinking? Yeah. You know, the second half of your life is usually like, shit, why was I doing all that dumb shit? So that's where I'm at right now, where I'm just trying to be a better version of myself. As far as streaming, you're probably not going to know this. Only a couple nerds will know this. There's an anime that I've been watching. It's called The Fighting. And it's about The Fighting. It's a Japanese anime. It's on Amazon Prime. The cool thing about this is it relates to me so much because it's this kid that was bullied. He picked up boxing. And this is his entire journey of each fight, how he had to overcome just getting in depth with it and how he wins the fight and how he's scared and nervous, the innocence behind it. I'm like, holy shit, I feel like this cartoon is telling my life. So I kind of picked that up. It was made in 1985, I think. That's where I'm at right now. And I've just been focused on being healthy. That's it. Nothing special.
Uriah, we have our next guest in the waiting room. He was a little late because of the time zone. But look, we love you. You're such bad. No, not at all. He just jumped in. But you're such an honest and introspective guy. I always enjoy having you on. I know Matt loves you too. So come back soon, man. I'm glad you're out the other side of that, what you were dealing with.
Anything you want to plug, Uriah? Anything you want to plug? Your Instagram, Uriah Hall?
I delete Instagram, man. I start a new one because there's a bunch of weird motherfuckers out there sending dick pics. So I'm like, you
know what? Jimmy, I told Jimmy to stop that shit.
I said you didn't get a kick out of it. I'm like, come on. I put a little hat on it.
He thought you would like it. Go ahead. Yeah. You have a new one, or do you want it?
I mean, listen, I don't want weirdos to follow me, man. I think MMA fans are a little weird, so.
You're the best.
Okay. You find me. So, yeah.
You're unique, dude. I'm happy to see you doing well. Always love
Great to see you smiling. Guys.
You too, pal.
When you're in New York, let me know when you're in New York.
Yes. I'd love to see you both, man.
Yes. You're right. Stay healthy. It's good talking to you.
You too, guys. Stay black.
Yes.
I was just saying that to Matt, and we will.
Take care, Uriah.
See you, buddy.
Hot off the press from Maybelline New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, Awesome Zaidi had it was a time zone. I love Uriah. I mean, that just he's always truthful, and he talks about the darker stuff, the other side of the brain, which a lot of guys don't address. He's just so good. I'm really happy he pulled through that.
Yeah, Jimmy, bet.
Yes, and we should bring Awesome Zaidi in now.
The kids say that.
I know.
They say bet.
I went out for the first time today.
I'm not going to say that again, the bet thing. I don't like it in my vocabulary. What were you going to say?
I got choked out for the first time today, like where I went out.
Unconscious?
Yeah, it was brief.
Hold on. Yeah. Awesome is out of this world. Look at the background. What is happening?
You're damn right. Out of this freaking world.
I'm jealous of your background, man. I like that. Awesome. Where are you from right now? Where are you? West Coast?
No, I'm in Mexico right now.
Oh, you're still there.
Yeah. So I'm in Mexico right now. I'm here in the airport. That's why I got my timings mixed up. You know, I would have put some beard oil on. Pretty for you guys.
You look great. And the background is, I got a question for you. Before we forget, we just had on Uriah Hall, and we had heard rumors possibly about him fighting. Now, is there any possibility of Darren Till Uriah Hall in karate combat?
Wow, I didn't know he would tell you guys that, but yeah, we were...
No, he didn't. He didn't say it. We actually had that on our prep sheet. Oh, okay.
No. We were talking to him, you know, we were DMing back and forth, trying to figure out what would make sense for him. There's a few fights he really liked. So that's definitely something that we would love to work out. I also want to say just, you know, Matt, Sarah, what you've done for the bald community, you know, being a champion and everything, I really appreciate it. You know, I'm with you right here, you know?
Hey, man, first of all, thank you. I shave my head. Let me tell you, Awesome. My wife will tell you, I don't like when I get a 5 o'clock shadow when it starts to come in. I'll shave twice a week, twice a day. I'll shave it again. like a baby's hiney. I love it. I like the facial hair. It is about as long as I get. I get a little, I don't like when I'm rolling and it's, you know, you got a band-aid in your beard and shit. I don't need that.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. How did you, I know you were involved with martial arts since you were a child. Your father got you involved. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My father was my first coach. He was a Taekwondo black belt. He was actually the assistant to the Olympic coach, but all of that, he doesn't admit. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt and that's all he'll tell people. You know,
why does he admit Taekwondo?
So he was a Taekwondo black belt as well. And that's what we started training in when I was a kid. And then Shotokan karate. But then when I was 10 years old, I saw Hoyt Gracie strangling everyone, you know, that did karate, all these traditional martial arts. And I quit. I told my dad, I don't want to do that crap anymore. And I started doing jiu-jitsu when I was 10. And I got my black belt from Hoyt. Hoyt sent me to John Danaher. Or sorry, Hoyt sent me to TriStar with Faraz Zahabi. And then Faraz sent me to John Danaher.
I was just in Orlando and I visited John Burke from Six Levels. He's Hoyce Gracie's first black belt. I don't know if you know
him. Yes, sir.
Small world. He's a great guy. How did you get involved with the whole promotion and the promoting part of things?
So this is what's kind of intriguing, right? Because, like, of course, like a lot of people, I did Shotokan karate, where I started with karate and taekwondo and all that stuff, and then I changed to jiu-jitsu. Because I wanted to learn real fighting stuff. And if you go to a karate gym, for the most part, you're going to Mac Dojos. That's usually the case, right? There's a 9-year-old black belt in the gym, usually. and that's not what we want to do. We want to learn to fight for real, you know? So I started doing jiu-jitsu. So it's kind of ironic that I consider myself, you know, a major jiu-jitsu player, is in control of a karate league. So that's kind of interesting. But the way it all started was, no, I'm first a coach. I have a team in Miami. We're a very viral team. We're called the Goat Shed. You know, we're all over the place, man. And I had a fighter that fought for Karate Combat. He was a no-name fighter, new guy. We actually found him in, like, the mountains of Pakistan. And when he had his debut fight, we turned him into this, like, national hero. And his following just went crazy. He started going viral. I mean, it's insane what the guy's done so quick in his career. So basically the founders came to me and said, look, if you can blow up a guy's career from nothing, if you have that skill to market a fighter, can you do that for our roster? And I said, hey, man, I've always had that skill of marketing. So sure, bring me in and I'll start promoting these fighters how they deserve and start bringing the limelight to them. So, you know, I've done 3 shows so far. You guys saw my Vegas show with Anthony Pettis versus Benson Henderson 3. Then I had a cool house party at my mom's house. We threw a fights there. I don't know if you guys saw that one. And then now we did Mexico City.
What makes somebody a good coach in your mind? What's the difference between a good coach and a bad coach? And what will somebody do that makes them not as an effective a coach?
I mean, honestly, the two biggest things for me, and I think obviously Matt Serra would probably agree. You got to have the knowledge. That's going to be number one, but you got to care. You got to be passionate. You got to care. And I said Matt Serra would agree just because he's a very extroverted, passionate person. I see a lot of same characteristics between him and I. We're both a little wild, but we're very passionate. And that caringness is what really helps the fighter. You know, they don't feel alone on that dark journey that the fighter goes through, because it's not an easy thing, you know, and you stand right by them. And when you really care for them, they feel that support and they prosper.
Now, there's an MMA crowd listening, obviously. Karate Combat, what exactly are... I know it's an interesting what you fight in. It's not really a ring. It's like a... What do you call it?
It's a pit.
It's a fucking pit! Come on, man. You guys,
I love this guy.
Karate in a pit. What is that? Come on, man. It's fucking great. I want to know how that concept came about. And what exactly are the rules for the guys that are listening that are not knowing what Karate Combat is?
So the rules are really simple. I changed some of them, but to make it very simple, it's a striking art that includes ground and pound. So basically, you can strike, you can take down, but when you're on the ground, you can only grapple as long as you stay striking. Does that make sense? Like, if you get held, they break it and they stand you up. So you have to keep striking, and as long as you're striking, you can stay on the ground.
But is there submissions?
No, pure striking. So okay. Think of it almost like, to make it simply, it's basically MMA striking, like only. you know? And it's really intriguing because you it's just pure damage. It's kind of messed up. It's kind of a violent, very violent sport, right?
Well, does this appeal to people too? Probably because, like, a lot of times when you're watching a fight and it goes into a jiu-jitsu match on the ground, fans get antsy. This is probably what everybody wants to see on the ground, which is striking. So this probably appeals to people that aren't even hardcore fans because it literally is just like watching constantly, like a fight, constant striking.
It is. It's easy to watch. It's easy on the casual fan on their eyes because they can understand everything, right? Because the only type of grappling you'll see is something that's going to put you in an advantage position to strike. So yeah, everyone can kind of understand it. Whereas jiu-jitsu, you know, it's very intricate and it's very strategical. It changes a lot, right?
Now, here's my question too, because I'm looking at a photo of somebody getting going into a guillotine, falling backwards. Now, are you allowed to do submissions if you are striking with the other hand?
Well, no, I think you're talking about Rafael Alves. What happened there?
I don't know. This is just the photo.
You do grappling matches as well, don't you?
Oh, okay. Here you go. Well, that's where it becomes interesting. So what happened was, you're going to absolutely love this story. So in Las Vegas, okay, we threw a big event. It was my first event with Anthony Pettis, Benson Henderson, and all the biggest names, Master, they all came, dude. You have no idea. It was like Volkanovski, Sean O'Malley, Ilia Topuria. Everyone just showed up. It was insane. Like, I threw a Hail Mary DM invitation on Instagram and everyone said yes. It was really weird.
Wow.
So, like, it was such an honor for me, you know. And when they showed up, Volkanovski brought Craig Jones, and when Craig Jones watched the event, he fell so in love with it that he did a podcast talking about it and it went viral, and we got so many new fans because of him. So he was, sorry about that, so he was one of the inspirations. Yeah. So, I don't know if you could. Did I break up for a second?
Oh, a half a second is fine.
Craig Jones is one of the inspirations.
Yeah, so Craig Jones was one of the inspirations to doing this pit submission series. And that's why, so it's Karate Combat is featuring pit submission series. We allow these grappling matches as a pre-show leading up to our Karate Combat fights.
I like that. Hey, Craig Jones, well, I'll tell you right now, not only is he one of the best grapplers on the planet, he's got a very unique personality, and I think it's very funny. He's a very funny guy. He's got a very good sense of humor, that Craig Jones.
Yeah, but I don't know him. I've seen him interviewed and I've seen him talk, but I don't think I've ever met him.
Hysterical.
No, he's hysterical. He's great. And like, what he did for us was so genuine. Doing that podcast and talking about us helped our sport so much. I wanted to give back to grappling. And there's so many reasons behind it, but he was a big inspiration to that. You know, did you guys see his match that he just had with us?
Yeah, he did the, I believe it was a triangle
off the freaking wall, man.
It's almost like,
yeah, it was great.
That's unheard of. It was in grappling what Anthony Pettis's jump kick off the cage was in MMA. Yeah. Because he did it off the wall, and it was bad. He's got style, man. It was very, very cool.
Who was that against, that Pettit kick? I know the one you mean, where he kind of runs in a half circle. Benson Henderson.
Yeah, Benson Henderson, yeah. I like that you have the legend, Boss Rutten.
Yes, sir.
One of your crew over there. He does the commentary, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so our ambassadors, our commentators, we usually have Boss Rudin, we have GSP, we have Lyoto Machida, Wonderboy Thompson. These are the guys that, yeah, they all have that background that we need that upholds the, like, karate tradition. Yeah. And obviously, they have at the same time, they're unbelievable fighters and they're real, right? And that's what we want. We're trying to make karate real again. Look, Matt, all right, so you, not to call you, Mr. Sarah. Should I call you Mr.
Call
Sarah?
Me Matt, shit.
Okay, Matt. I'll call you Matt. So, yeah. Matt, look, I started jiu-jitsu when I was 10 years old. I'm sure you started way before me, but we were there during the evolution where jiu-jitsu was just taking over, right? Like Dojo Storm. Yeah. You remember that time, the Gracie Challenge matches?
100%.
Yeah. Okay, were you involved? Because I was.
Listen, that'll be a whole other pot. I was at Henzo Gracie's on it's Gracie Cook Academy on 26th Street in Manhattan in 96. In the heat.
There you go.
That's when, not only, and I said this before on here, you'd have the knuckleheads that didn't believe in jiu-jitsu, that watched the UFC, that wanted to try it out, and you have to put them in their place. Even worse were the old school karate guys and the guys that thought their art was being taken away from them. Yes. Those are the guys that tried to do the fucking Dalton. They try to rip my throat. And that's when I'd find out, Jimmy, that it's after the fourth pop of the arm is when that shit's really broken.
And look, you're 100% right. So first of all, I got to say, you and I can never have lunch together or the restaurant will kick us out because we'll be screaming the whole time. We'll be too loud. But I like to yell too. But I'll tell you this. So now you can understand my plan perfectly. So just like we did those dojo storms and challenge matches to prove jiu-jitsu's effectiveness, what I'm trying to do with karate combat is I'm trying to do the same thing. It's a real damn fight. We're emphasizing the karate rule set with the striking and all that stuff. But hey, if you're from a mad dojo, you're going to lose. You're not going to win. Huh. So what's going to happen is it'll evolve the art and karate will become real again. Because for the most part, karate lost its way. It's not what it used to be back in the day where maybe they had real fighters. Now it's kind of died out. We're trying to bring that back. So that's the idea.
That's a fucking t-shirt. That is a hat. Make karate real again. I see it. I just see it. Let's fucking go.
Do you think some of this has happened though? Like, it's just the impression of it because mixed martial arts is so powerful. Like, even pure jiu-jitsu guys like Crone Gracie, like, no matter what you are, if you're purely one thing, it's hard for guys in MMA because those, especially those young guys, mix everything up so well. So do you think that, like, whether it's karate, taekwondo, jiu-jitsu, have gotten a bad rap just being on their own compared to MMA?
Well, look, if you get a jiu-jitsu purple belt, I think, in my opinion, I think he'll beat 99% of the people in the world. You know, that's it. That's all he needs. Now, you get me a 9-year-old karate black belt, I could probably, you know, punt him and he'll fly away. You know, like, we shouldn't have a 9-year-old black belt, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's an adjustment that needs to be made. I feel like it, karate got so mainstream, so powerful, which is really awesome, but it became a business more than a martial art. It's kind of happening with jiu-jitsu, but not as bad, I think, you know, because you still, jiu-jitsu still keeps it real. We still have that tradition a little bit, but that's what karate combat is. I want to bring those Gracie challenge matches to prove jiu-jitsu. That's basically what we're doing for karate right now. I want to reveal who the mag dojos are, where the real karate gyms are. Right now, the king of striking in my eyes, it's probably going to be Muay Thai for the general consensus of people. Why do I say that? You look at every major gym in the world, they have a Muay Thai coach, a wrestling coach, and a jiu-jitsu coach. I would love if we could make karate so legitimate that one day it's a karate coach, a wrestling coach, and a jiu-jitsu coach. It would be amazing. Hey, it's going to take time, though.
You're right, because it did get watered down, man. I mean, you know why? Because when they think karate, now you could be changing a lot of minds. You know, you got things that go viral with your clips and from your event. Otherwise, they're thinking it's, oh, little Timmy's going to break the board this time. Little fat kid with a yellow belt. Yep. Hit the board. You know, they're thinking it's that kind of shit. Nobody wants that shit.
I'll tell you what, it's the Karate Kid. The Karate Kid fucked it up because it was a good movie, but then people see the crane and they're like, that doesn't work. And then all of a sudden, that's the impression of karate.
That's the problem, right? Well, I'll tell you guys this. This is kind of cool. So, just like I keep saying, the idea is we got to prove it's real. We got to prove it's real until one day it's recognized as a real martial art again. One idea I had is this. There was a karate master back in the day. You guys probably don't even know this. His name was Oyama. And he did 3-3, karate versus Muay Thai. And karate won 2-1. Okay. Did you guys know that?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I heard of Oyama.
Yes. That was a long ass time ago. They're still holding on to that. We need to redo this experiment. So what I'm planning to do, we're about to throw the biggest event we've ever done in Dubai. Okay. I want to do it again in that card. I want 3-3. Give me the 3 best Muay Thai fighters in the world. Give me the 3 best karate combat fighters we got. Let's pin them against each other. And geez, I hope we win. Cause if we don't, that would be a terrible decision on my part.
Hey, what about Wing Chun? I love when these Wing Chun guys, because you know why? I used to fuck with it. And then anytime I got into a real fight, I'd start with a chain punch or they'd say a straight blast in the GK and JKD. And then it wouldn't do anything and I'd fucking end up grappling them. So, I mean, I like when you see 2 Wing Chun masters fight for real. It starts like it's going to be something out of Yip Man. And then it's the worst white belt fight you ever saw on the floor.
Terrible.
It is the worst. Boo-boo. I remember one time I was on stage at the UFC. It was the UFC Fight Week. It was me, Roy Nelson, and then there was this couple there. My problem, awesome, is I'm too honest. So there was this couple, and they were dressed in Kung Fu uniforms. And they were a little nerdy. They were nice, but they were going, this question's for Matt Serra and Roy Nelson, because they knew we did Kung Fu, and they wanted to know if it was, like, effective. So I had to be honest and be like, well, I grew up with a wooden dummy in my garage. But you better learn some jiu-jitsu, because chances are this shit, they hated me. Roy Nelson's telling them the positives of it and the fucking the eagle claw. And I'm telling them, boo.
Shit.
You got to keep it real, man. You got to keep it real. That's
fuck
it.
Fuck yeah, awesome. I'm just happy that you're so outgoing and fucking jovial. Because with a name like Awesome, if you were a stick in the mud, it wouldn't fit.
It fits, bro. You're a character
in a good way.
And Zadie, did I pronounce your last name right, Zadie?
Yes, you did. You know, one thing that I don't like talking about it too much, but I'll tell you guys, just because you guys are so you're being so sweet to me, man, so nice to me. So let me tell you guys. So one thing that's been irking me since I got this job, we 4X'd in viewership. Karate Combat, actually, people didn't even know. It's been around 5 years, but they think it's only been around a few events because, I brought a lot of attention to it. So now people are noticing it. And thank God, hey, I'm with you guys for the first time. I'm with Jim and Matt for the first time on UFC Unfiltered. Absolute honor. And I think it's in due to the hard work my team and I have done with Karate Combat. Here's where my little issue is. Some of the karate purists, like super purists, okay? Those motherfuckers. Oh shit, I cursed. Sorry.
Sorry,
those
guys get on Reddit.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay. They get on freaking Reddit and they go, this guy's ruining karate. This guy's turning it into the UFC. This guy's turning it into WWE. And first of all, UFC and WWE are both billion-dollar industries. So that would be pretty amazing if I did that. But besides that, it's just ridiculous the amount of trolls I have on Reddit. I need someone to battle these trolls with me on Reddit. It's pissing me off.
Here's the rule. In any job, the purists are annoying. The purists, because they come from this arrogant point of view where they don't want to see any change. It's not just about the art. It's about them not liking any type of change. Because you're not doing anything to hurt karate at all. You try to bring karate's the name, the karate, because no one I know takes karate. Everyone I know is aware of karate. Everyone I know either takes jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, or judo even, or wrestling. But nobody I know takes karate. So what you're doing is necessary.
Go ahead, Matt. Sorry, go ahead.
Right.
Because I keep bringing this back to jiu-jitsu, especially on this podcast, because I know Matt Serra has a huge jiu-jitsu background. So I know he'll love combining the history of the past with what I'm trying to do right now. Because I'm just repeating history. That's all I'm doing. I'm looking back at the past and seeing what I can do. So check this out. You'll remember this. I think so. Count Koma brought jiu-jitsu from Japan to Brazil. Okay. Now, if you know the history of jiu-jitsu, they hated him in Japan. They hated him because he was trying to change everything. And he was competing around the world, fighting around the world in no rules fights, trying to prove jiu-jitsu. And they were very upset about it because he was spreading jiu-jitsu. Then when he got to Brazil, they were pissed off at Hélio Gracie.
His call just dropped. I was thinking as he was talking. But, oh, there he is. Are you here, sir? That's okay.
I'm sorry.
You've had excellent reception for an airport. Believe me. What do you say?
Count Koma, they hated him. They hated Hélio. Go ahead.
Yeah. They hated Hélio. And then Hélio brought Hoyce over here. And Hoyce beat everyone's ass. And everyone was mad at him, too. And everyone that makes these major changes in the martial arts, there's a pushback. Because they're disrupting the industry. So everyone gets kind of mad.
Also, awesome. Sometimes they're just dorks. Let me tell you, there was a time recently, not too long ago, I did a post and I'm always at my school. I taught the 7 a.m. in a noon class today. I'm always there. So it was me, it was my friend Lauren. I go, follow me. We're going to go say hello to so and so. I walk in on the mat and I got my espresso cup, So I did that post. And a lot of times I don't look on the comments, but this time I happen to see it. And somebody goes, I've never seen someone disrespect the mats by bringing.
Oh my God.
Does anybody feel the same? So I wrote on there, I will eat a 3-course meal on my mats, you dork. Anyway, so if I feel like it, you know what I mean? Fuck you. Really? I'm disrespecting the mats? I just made, right now in this class, 35, 40 people. They're leaving more dangerous. You understand? Go fuck yourself.
Yep.
You know what you I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, man. And, you know, when I used to post though, my gym, we're actually the most viral MMA team on the planet as far as social media goes. It's called the Goat Shed. The Instagram is really, really wild. Now, whenever I demonstrate a move on Instagram, you're going to love this. I wear a chain, okay? And I don't wear it because it's comfortable. I wear it because it'll piss off all the dorks. That's the only reason.
I'm following you right now. I'm going to follow the Goat Shed. I don't blame on that.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. What an honor.
And like awesome.
Dean coaches at my gym, too.
That's
Dean
right.
Dean Thomas?
Yeah.
I love Dean Thomas.
He's the man.
And we want to promote, before we let you go, we want to promote everything properly. It's at Karate Combat on Twitter or X, at Karate Combat, at GoChad, and at president.awesome, but it's spelled A-W-E-S-O-M-E. It's spelled like the word awesome. So at president.awesome, GoChad, or Karate Combat on Instagram.
I appreciate you guys so much, man. What an honor it is to be in front of you guys. Jim and Matt, you guys are awesome.
It was great talking to you, and we're happy that you made. Have a safe flight home today. And
Sorry, one more shout out.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've had two students for 6 years. One's 9-1, the other's 8-1. If the UFC's watching, they need to be signed. Roy Echeverria, Ryan Coos, we need to sign these damn guys to the organization. I just got to drop that one right there. 6 years, okay. My students.
Fuck yeah, man. Good, awesome.
Awesome,
nice
yes.
Nice to meet you, bro.
Pleasure.
Good luck. Nice talking everything. To you, man. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you again.
See ya.
All right. Have a great trip today.
Yeah, bro. That's great, man.
Yeah, his energy. How do you not like that guy? Like, he's got such great energy. You can't not enjoy him.
What is it? The Goat Shed? Because I found the CrossFit one. That's not the right
It's
one.
At Goat Shed. This is what we have. At Karate Combat, at Goat Shed, at president.awesome. Let's make sure those are all good, because I want to give them the proper... and those are on Instagram, Matt. On Twitter, it's at Karate Combat.
Okay, Jimmy, what do you want to plug?
Just tomorrow night, I will be Wednesday, I'll be at the Fat Black Pussycat. Thank you to everyone who came out this weekend. I had some great shows. And let me just, my tour, all the shows in Austin are sold out. March 7th, 8th, and 9th, I have Petaluma, California, Santa Cruz, and Monterey. So if you want to come see me on the West Coast, I got those three dates. And then I head to Austin, Oklahoma, Houston, and Dallas. But Austin is sold out. So,
oh, man, that's so awesome, dude.
I'm very happy.
When are you going to Austin, you said?
March, let me tell you. It looks like the 15th and 16th.
I'm going to be there early April. Myself, Dean Thomas, my buddy John Rollo are going back on that Joe Rogan show.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, yeah, I'll be gone by then, but I'm sure that'll be great.
I also want to plug Nikki and Jim, NYC, on YouTube.
Thank you. Yes, our new podcast episode goes up tomorrow. I think we're still waiting for the video.
Give me a little cheek. Put your cheek up to the thing. Jimmy, I miss you, buddy. Sorry about that last couple of seconds right
there. I didn't mind it.
All right. Listen to me. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate you.
Yes. Thanks to Awesome and also to our friend Uriah Hall. And always a great interview. So we'll see you Wednesday. Great.
Amazing episode.
Goodbye, buddy.
Bye, Jimmy. Bye, world.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.